Bibles with us tonight into the book of John, chapter number 15, and we would like to welcome everyone out this morning, and for as many people's away and sick and everything else, we do still have a good crowd, and we're thankful for that this morning. Trust you've come seeking for God to give you something this morning, God to bless your heart. God has what you need, amen, and if you'll just heed his word this morning, and listen to his spirit as he speaks to your heart, you'll find that you need this morning. And we are thankful for the Christmas season, and I like to preach about the birth of Christ. It's a great blessing. And this morning, we'd like to preach to you out of the book of John, and trust that God blesses your heart in some way this morning, but most of all, we trust that if you don't know him this morning, don't know why he came this morning, don't know why he was born and laid in that manger before you leave this morning, you would know that he come to be your Savior. He come to deliver you from the curse of sin. If you are able, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word in John chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 18, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and heard both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth forth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? You may be seated. In verse number 22, Jesus said, if I had not come. If I had not come. Do you ever stop and think of what a world this would be if Jesus had not come? Do you ever stop and think just what would happen to you, just what your eternity would be if Jesus had not come? We want to preach to you this morning on this thought, if Jesus had never been born. If Jesus had not come, what would mankind do? What would be the state of man in this world? Some have blamed the coming of Christ and Christianity for causing a plethora and a multitude of the problems that we see in the world today. And these are those who are atheistic. Friedrich Nietzsche, the father of modern atheism, lauded and said that he would condemn Christ, and he would condemn Christianity in the most stern and the hardest way possible for all the things that Christianity had brought. And let me tell you what Christianity had brought that Nietzsche was so proud of. It had abolished the darkness of paganism and had brought to reality the truth of man's sinful nature, showing and convincing man of his need of a Savior. Adolf Hitler, a great follower of Nietzsche, a great proponent of his teachings, as well blamed the Judeo-Christian influence in the world for causing the problems that the world knew and the despair that had come into the world. He went so far as to say that as soon as he had finished dealing with the Jewish problem, he would have to begin to deal with Christianity itself, because Christianity upholds a moral high ground that atheism and that paganism cannot maintain and cannot abide, because it goes contrary to human nature. It goes contrary to human desire. It goes contrary to what man wants. Even in Darwin's writings, Darwin said it would take a fool, it would take an unlearned, ignorant individual to even believe the theory of evolution. But it was put forth and it was promulgated by the atheists because it freed them from a moral absolute. It freed them from a moral authority that God's word had ushered in. If Christianity had not entered into this world because of the coming of Christ, this world would be a much different place. In the medieval times, hospitals were instituted because of the Christian influence and because Christians saw the need to reach out to those who were in need and those who were hurting and to minister to their physical bodies. Universities, as we know them today, would not exist for most of the most famous universities throughout the world today were formed as Christian colleges and Christian schools. Yes, Cambridge. Yes, Princeton. Yes, Harvard. Yes, Oxford. These were all Christian colleges promoting the cause of Christ and teaching Christ and Him crucified as their first and foremost purpose in being an institution of higher learning. A representative government came from the Word of God, and because Christ had come into the world and gave us the privilege of knowing the freedom that comes from being freed from the bondage of man, the separation of offices in government came from Christ. The separation of church and state came from the teachings of God's Word, and because Christ had come into the world, we see the civil liberties that so many know today are those things which were taught by Christ. Modern science proceeds forth from the Word of God. Most of the discoveries and most of the major advances in science this world has known has come from Christian people because of the influence of Christ in their life and what Christ has done. The abolition of slavery as we know it. And yes, I know that many held slaves who claimed to be Christian. Many indicted and could be indicted and could be drug into a mire of slavery. But still, it was the Christian influence. It was the Christian who set forth to abolish slavery throughout the world. William Wilberforce in England fought before the British Parliament for 40 years to see the abolition of slavery in the British Empire, and he's seen it upon his deathbed finally fulfilled, that it was totally abolished within the English Empire. In America, we have a lot of things to be ashamed of, and slavery was one of them, but it was Christians that stood. It was Christians that fought. It was Christians that strived to abolish slavery in America. America. And yes, had it not been for Christ, and had it not been for His influence, had it not for been for His teachings, that we are all men, one flesh. We are all in the same boat. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, not just certain individuals, but it wasn't God's will that any should perish. Amen. He died for all men. He died for all races. He died for all creeds. He died that everyone might know salvation and might know eternal hope and eternal hope in heaven with Him when we die. A higher standard of justice came forth because of Christ when He came into this world. Do you remember the woman that was taken in adultery? And the Bible says in the Old Testament that she was worthy of death. But the Bible also says the man and the woman are both to be executed, are both to be stoned. And praise God, when they tried to abort and they tried to malign the justice, Jesus brought them back to reality. And He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And praise God, and one by one they went away because they began to examine their own selves. They began to examine their own motives, and they began to see that the one in whom they stood in front of was a just and a righteous judge. Amen. I tell you, we need justice. And that's what we need, is justice. Amen. Not a twisting of justice. Not a manipulating of justice. We need justice. Amen. And Christ taught us justice. Because Christ came into this world, we see that He's ushered in a higher regard for human life. Those whom others would not touch, those whom others would not minister to, those whom others would have no part of, Christ readily reached out to, and Christ readily opened His arms to. There was none that was unworthy of, all were unworthy, but there was none that were excluded from His expression of love, His touch of healing, His mercies bestowed upon their life. None that came unto Him, even the lepers that had to cover their selves, and they had to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. When they came to Jesus, was readily received and readily touched and readily healed. God has taught us through His Son Jesus that though we're unworthy of His love, though we're unworthy of His mercy, and though we're unworthy of His grace, it's imperative that each one of us who knows and claims the name of Christ as our Savior reach out into a lost and a dying world and to seek and to save and to preach and to teach and to show the world that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and Jesus saves. Praise God. Not only is a regard for human life, in that a regard brought forth, but we see the cause of abortion in America today, and the resurgence of the destruction of life in the way that it is. And Jesus has taught us that it's ungodly. Jesus has taught us that it's unholy. Jesus has taught us that it's unneedful. You see, this wasn't nothing new in the Old Testament. We read where the pagans would pass their children through the fire unto the god Moloch. They would burn their children on the altar to the gods that the pagans worshipped in the Roman Empire. They say any day in Rome, it was nothing to find as many as 20,000 unborn or newborn children cast upon the dump heaps of Rome simply because they were children who were unwanted, and the overwhelming majority of them were female. Amen. Since Jesus come, the estate of women has been raised to a higher standard, to a higher plane. because Jesus come, women are no longer in the most part and in most places of this world today possessions to be bought and sold and to be passed around or treated like animals and like herded like some kind of an animal. Yes, friends, Jesus has made a remarkable difference in this world. But if Jesus had not come, if Jesus had not been born, if that Christmas had not happened, that Christmas day, that Christmas scene that we see had not happened some 2,000 years ago, praise God, there would be no hope for man today. How do you know that, preacher? Because Matthew's gospel tells us. Matthew 1, if you want to read it all, you can read it. Matthew 1, 18 down to 25. But in Matthew 1 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Friends, if Jesus had never been born, there would be no God with us. Well, what difference does that make, preacher? From the beginning of time, a man has longed to see God. Man has longed to know God. A man has longed to be reunited with God and to walk with God and to talk with God and to experience God. And in Jesus, we got to see God face to face. In Jesus, we got to meet Him in His person for who He was. We got to see the sinless Son of God as He came into this world and as He lived His life lovingly, as He lived His life mercifully, as He lived His life long-suffering, as He lived His life holy before us. And in Him, we see the personification of who God is and what God does and how God lives and how God acts and how God in His very being just deals with man as He walks with us and talks with us and lived with us and seen us right down where we really are, where the rubber meets the road, and yet was willing to die for us. Amen. There would be no God with us. No God, as it says over in Hebrews, who experienced all the things that we experience in this life, the hurts, the hungers, the trials, even the temptations. He's been through it all. And He comes so that you could know that because He's been through it all, He can bring you through it all. Amen. Because He knows you, because He has experienced you, because He's been with you, He knows more about you than you realize, and He wants to redeem you. He wants to save you. He wants to be a blessing in your life like you've never been blessed. Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen God." Amen. Praise God. I'm glad one day I got to get a glimpse of God. I got to get a glimpse of His mercy. I got to get a glimpse of His loving kindness. I got to get a glimpse of Him as He called out to me. Paul met Him on the road to Damascus. He said, "As one called out of due season." Amen. And he said, "Paul, why persecutest thou Me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." Amen. He said, "I've got something for you." Amen. I'm glad I met Him one day. Amen. I'm glad I met Him one day. And He told me He had something for me. He had something for me that I could never do for myself. He had something for me that my mama and my papa could never do for me. He had something for me that my birth could not go. He had a plan of salvation. A gift of life eternal. A hope for all of eternity that no man could bestow, only He Himself. Without the birth of Jesus, there would be no God with us. But if you look back in verse number 21 in Matthew's gospel, if Jesus had never been born, not only would there be no God with us, but there would be no God for us. Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise God this morning that Jesus was born. Praise God this morning that God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God he loved us this morning. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God he loved us. Praise God he's seen our need. Praise God he sent his son to be born in a manger in Bethlehem, the precious Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. There was no one else that was for us. There was no one else that could do for us what Jesus has done for us. There was no one else that could bring to us what Jesus has brought to us. There was no one else. I couldn't do it for myself. All my righteousness, S, plural, are as filthy rags. I couldn't do anything. I had no hope. I had no help. But praise God, Jesus came for me. Jesus came on my behalf. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus rose for my justification. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father this morning, making intercession for me in everything that I call upon him in. He forgives me of my sins. Praise God, we have an advocate with the Father who cleanses us from our sins. Amen. Forgives us of our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, to quote it right. Praise God, he hears and he advocates on my behalf. Oh, praise God. When I have a need and I don't know how to express my need, the Spirit makes a groaning for me on my behalf into the throne room of God, that I might hear from heaven and know that my prayers have been heard. And praise God, he always answers my prayers. Amen. Sometimes he says no. Amen. 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 But he always answers my prayers. Amen. Praise God, when I'm in troubled waters, he's there to help me. Praise God, when the storms of life are about to overwhelm me, Brother Joe, he's right there with me. Amen. Praise God, when the enemy comes my way. Amen. I don't have to stand alone. I don't even have to fight the battle. I just got to have the armor on. And by the way, if you look at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, it's all for the frontal part of the body. If I have my armor on and I stand with him, praise God, all I got to do is just turn it over to Jesus and he fights the battle for me. Amen. Amen. Ain't nobody else can do that for you. Amen. And nobody else really wants to do it for you. Amen. I bet Jesus is waiting to do it for you. Praise God. Had Jesus not come, had Jesus not been born, had we not had the privilege to be able to celebrate Christmas because Emmanuel, God came to be with us. But not only did he come to be with us, he came to be for us. Amen. And he took our place on an old rugged cross. Praise God. He died for my sins. I was unworthy of what he did. But he shed his blood. He bore his flesh out and poured everything that was within him out that he might take upon himself the burden, the debt of my sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Praise God, that was me. Amen. That was me. The wages of sin was death. I deserved to die. Amen. I didn't deserve God's Son. Oh, but praise his name. He loved loved me this morning. Praise His name this morning. He came to die on my behalf. Praise His name. He told His disciples that followed Him, no greater love hath any man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, praise God. One day I met a friend whose name was Jesus. Amen. One day I found the one who was able to take away my sin because He had laid down His life on my behalf and had died on an old rugged cross so I wouldn't have to pay for the debt of sin that I owed. Amen. I'm glad. I'm glad that that little baby was born. Oh, that we might experience God. But praise God, I'm glad that He stood on my behalf. Amen. He can do what only God could do in my life and for my life. Not only would we not know God with us, not only would we not know God for us, we wouldn't know God within us. Back in our text in John, in verse number 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And in John chapter 14, in verses 16 to 18, He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Oh, praise God this morning. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to guess. I don't have to try to figure out anything on my own. All I got to do is turn to the one that lives within me and ask Him to guide me, to direct me, to help me. Praise God. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. He'll be right there. When I'm troubled, He's right there. Amen. When I'm worried, He's right there. When I find myself where I shouldn't be, and sometimes I wander, sometimes I stray, sometimes I get off the straight and narrow and I head down that broad highway, praise His name this morning, He's right there, and He tells me where I need to be, He shows me where I need to go, He directs my path and guides my feet. He said He would guide us into all truth, and He brings me back to where I need to be. I'm so glad this morning that He lives inside of me. He's my conscience. He's my goad to keep me where I need to be. He's my teacher. He's my strength. When I don't understand, He teaches me. When I get weak, praise God, He lifts me up. He's everything I need, and I don't have to go to pray to some man. I don't have to go to some temple. Praise God, He's God within me. Amen. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. But you know what? If Jesus had never been born, I would not have known that peace of knowing that Jesus sits upon the throne of my heart and He guides my life. That Jesus is all that I need whenever I stand in need. When I get to the place, I find out that He's all I got. That's when I rejoice, because I realize I have all that I need. Right. Amen. Right. I have Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Friends, if Jesus had never been born, there would be no hope of eternal salvation. He wouldn't be your Savior. He wouldn't be your Paschal Lamb. He wouldn't be your sacrifice. You would owe that debt. You would owe that burden. You'd owe that price of sin for yourself and in yourself. I'm so glad that He's made a change in this world. But you know how He's made that change? He's made it one heart, one life, one soul at a time. as they have accepted God's unspeakable gift, His Son, as their Savior. Because God loved us, He sent His Son. Because there was nothing we could do for ourselves, God sent His Son. Because there was no hope in this world, God sent His Son to give us hope. In this Christmas season, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and I have folks say, well, we don't know when Jesus was born. No, we don't. We don't know. Probably wasn't this time of year. It's probably more back in the fall, early fall. But the thing of it is, we celebrate it because He was. Amen. Amen. We don't have to know when. We just need to know that He was. Amen. We know how. We know where. We know why. Amen. And just knowing that it was is enough to celebrate it. But friend, this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your friend, God with us, God who walks among, God who dwells with us, God who's everything to us, if you don't know God as your help, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as your sacrifice, your Lamb, your Paschal Lamb, if you don't know these truths, and you don't know that He dwells and sits upon the throne of your heart, you'll never experience Christmas like you will knowing that He has been born, but knowing that He's been born in your heart and in your life. He's made a change in you. You're one of the multitude. You're one of the multitude that's made a change in this world. It's Brother Jim and Sister Mary.